Hello and welcome to the 124th edition of the GoMeAndGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, a great win, 28-16, over a good Rice program.
Yeah, it was a real battle. It was a you know, back and forth. I mean, they took the early lead. We made some mistakes, but you just knew in your heart of hearts that defense was going to turn up the heat. And we were going to come back in the second half with a vengeance, and we did. And it was just a fantastic – it's got to be in my top five all-time North Texas games. It was just an electric crowd. The student section was amazing. And I think it was the loudest game I've ever been for North Texas.
You know, there was a lot of things that were really, really good at that game, a lot of things that were really, really cool. It was a very loud game. All the thoughts, and it was so funny because I went back and looked at some of the posts on the board where people were talking about being concerned about the students showing and the crowd. The alumni side was a little thin, but I thought it came late. But the student side was crazy. The uniforms, the band, I mean, everybody had their act together. We had a great crowd, a great showing, and you couldn't be prouder of this program, this team, and this university.
No, I mean, it's definitely one of the high water marks. Everything seems to be coming into place. We needed that Rice game. And then, you know, to add to that, you had Tulane slip up against Florida Atlantic. So all of a sudden now we're sitting in first place in the Western Division of Conference USA.
All right, before we get into the standings and what this means to the program and where we're going to go with this, let's talk about what we're looking at on this game, because this was an amazing game. And I think the best place to start out on this game is what will be going down forever of North Texas fans as the stand, which started at 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Eight plays, you know, prolonged by, you know, in the first series, Sarge McCoy lining up offsides. But it just was – it had to be one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, you know, not even just defensively. I mean, just in offensive, defensively, special teams, it was just amazing. It's going to go down in Mean Green folklore and was so aptly named the stand. I mean, I think that's exactly what it was. And it was just a – you know, you and I were sitting right next to each other while it occurred, and I know I kept on thinking every time they, you know, their quarterback McCarg lined up, I was like, "Well, here we go." You know, I mean, but you just had incredible courage, just not giving up from that defense, just basically saying, "We're not going to let you score. We're not going to let you score."
Well, I think prior to the first, the holding penalty halfway through the stand, I mean, everybody was just so fired up and so excited. And you started to feel like this is not the old North Texas where, man, we take two steps forward, one step back. Okay, here they come back. But can we do this? Can we pull off a great upset? Can we do these things? And what we did was we did an eight-play stand, gold line stand that was just something that everybody could dote on and everybody could hang their hat on, and this is how good this team is. And you got to look at it and go, this is not the North Texas we've seen previous years. We talk about the bowl years and how great they were, and there's no doubt those were some great times with some great players. But you look at the schedule and how we performed and stuff. This is a different team. This is a different level. This is a whole new experience where we're at, and we keep stringing these things together. Yeah, we'd like to have Tulane again over. Yeah, we'd like to have Ohio again. But the bottom line is we're on a roll here, and that stand right there said so much about where we're going.
This season, you know, when you compare it to those bowl years, it just has a different feeling about it. You know, in those bowl years, as great as they were, you know, in the out-of-conference games, we had some blowouts. You know, we didn't perform well when we were on a bigger stage. This year, there really wasn't a game all season, and that includes Georgia, that we were ever, you know, just completely blown out of the game. I just got a feeling about this team and this season that's different than anything I've felt since I've been following the program. I just feel like the upside is so much higher.
It was, and there was a lot of great plays, and you didn't have just one playmaker. I think the dotting of the I by Laramie Lee at the end said so much about how far he's come and how big of a piece to this defense he's become. But everybody played their part.
How about Richard Abbey?
Abby was great. That last play, he didn't have a whole lot into that. Although he did try to trip him, that little flail of his
leg. That little flail kick is just one of the most classic
things. I think that's
things.
What makes that play even better is yeah. just how great that was. And seeing, you know, the hustle, and they keep running the option, and then seeing the totally deflated, defeated look on their coach's face
at the end of the game.
And you could read his lips, you know. I mean, that was just like, that's it. This is, we can't do anything. And that right there, the place went absolutely nuts. That was one of the best games that I've been to. And especially on a Thursday night, when you look at some of the attendance of some of the other Thursday night games, I mean, Denton is not an easy place to get to on a weeknight.
How about Halloween night?
Halloween, a weeknight. I mean, could we have anything more stacked against us for attendance reasons?
That attendance count, I think, was accurate. And I think it was a very positive attendance. And anyone that says otherwise is just not being realistic about people's lives and you know, just the situation. I think the most encouraging thing, though, is that a student turnout. I mean, if you can start, you know, every student that was at that game now has a program of success, fun, excitement that a lot of students for many years, you know, since we started doing these podcasts, basically, have not had. And that's what's really exciting is they're going to come back. They want to be a part of this program. They want to see this type of football played again. It's fantastic.
And a large majority of the students stuck around to the end. And even after the game was over, the players coming over to the students, you know, hitting their hands. Some of the players jumped into the stands or just sitting on the sides there. I mean, that, you know, that those students were happy to be there. They were supporting the team, and the team showed them their appreciation.
You can't help but think about Coach Mack. I mean, he's had his critics. He's had people lobbing stones at him, but he stayed true to his plan all along. And now you look at what he's accomplished and where this program looks to be headed at this point, and you got to say, man, what a great hire. You know, what a great job this man has done with all those health issues. That's the other thing. Here's a guy that's had a stroke, had quadruple bypass, and his eye, you know, you think about all the things he's had to deal with, and it just makes you respect him even more.
If you look at the stats for the game, it doesn't really tell the whole story. I mean, you look at the stats back and forth. There were some turnovers. We continue to force turnovers, which is really great. Great to see. We continue to see big hits. We shut down the running back. Charles Ross was a great running back for them, and he got shut down, and he got taken out of the game.
He got taken out in the stand. That's a key component. And, again, the physical play of this defense, it causes so many good things to happen for this program right now. And, you know, on an honest note, I didn't really think our offense played very well in that game.
No, they didn't. I didn't think they did either, and we still managed to pull through. Now, there obviously was some big defensive plays, and Breland Chancellor's punt return for a touchdown was spectacular, and you just got to wonder, and he brought that up before the game. Their coach said, I've got to not give that guy the chance to do that, and they did, and the rest of the game, they were very, they were making sure they weren't giving him the chance to
do that. I just think we need to, if we're going to give an honest evaluation, that was a great game. It was fantastic. Special teams, Breland Chancellor, defense, the stand, offense. Okay, let's go into the next subject. I do think that's something that, and I saw Coach Chico tweeted, you know, that, you know, I wish we were clicking better tonight. So I think they realize that. And I'm just saying that because it's something that down the road could cause us some problems and take away this dream season that we're having if we don't get it addressed.
All right. So this year we play, this week we play University of Texas El Paso. It's homecoming. El Paso's had their struggles, there's no doubt.
They're 1-7. They came out, you know, I don't know if you got to watch the A&M game. Boy, you know, that's, talk about fun, getting to play A&M in the middle of the conference season. But I think they showed a little something at the beginning of that game. I mean, they've got a good running back. They just had some terrible turnovers that ended up making it very lopsided. But I don't think you can take this program lightly. I mean, they are really looking for a win. I think they're going to have a good fan turnout at this game. And I don't think we're at the point at this program now where we can take anyone lightly, Evan.
Right. So El Paso is obviously, they're 0-4 in the conference, 1-7 overall. Their only win came against New Mexico State, which, you know, it's not exactly Abilene Christian, but it is, you know, it is still their only win. They've had a few games that were close. Louisiana Tech, they lost by 3 points. The rest of them, Rice was a blowout. A&M was a blowout. Tulsa won by 14. So, and they lost to New Mexico, their opener, in overtime. So, I mean, they've had their struggles. They have the up and downs. But, you know, the whole thing is you know, Leftwich's son.
Yeah, Spencer Leftwich, the former North Texas coach who's now the offensive line coach at UTEP. His son, Mac, is going to get the start. True freshman, like 5'11". I mean, great high school player, broke all kinds of records. But, boy, that's a tough – you know, game to step into.
Well, being a North Texas fan, I always fear the backup quarterback because it always seems like yes. When the backup quarterback comes out, I'll never forget when we were at Air Force, they had a backup quarterback and absolutely tore us up that one year. And that was when we had, those were the good years. So I always fear the backup quarterback. And, you know, I always think of that part in Star Wars, the third Return of the Jedi, where they say, it's a trap. And I always, and I keep thinking that. One of these games could sneak up on us if we don't. I mean, we're already thinking, well, we're favored in these games. You know, we're just not used to being favored. And so we're all nervous that, you know, even though UTEP is where they're at, even though UTSA is not, you know, where they could be, and Tulsa is definitely having a down year, any one of these teams could easily become a loss and turn this thing into a lot closer than we'd like.
Absolutely. I like that we're getting them at home, but we cannot take anyone lightly right now. And a team like this, you mentioned the Rice game was a blowout, but you know that Rice game, they were on the Rice 2-yard line and they fumbled the ball early in the game. And then everything, they just seem to be really, they seem like the Dodge North Texas team right now. Remember how Dodge, we'd get up in games and we'd make terrible mistakes or we'd turn the ball over and thing. It just doesn't seem like anything's going right for them. And that's going to change at some point.
You mentioned the Tulane game and how they lost one. It snuck up on them. So when you're looking at their schedule, obviously we're tied with Rice and Tulane at 4-1, 6-3 overall, all three teams. So right now it's tough. On the other side, East Carolina's 4-1, Marshall's 3-1. East Carolina has the best conference in the, I mean, best schedule record in the conference at 6-2. But you look at North Texas, there's a lot of things that have to happen, a lot of things. Tulane needs to lose another game, which they still have a tough game against Rice coming up.
No, they have a tough game this weekend against UTSA in San Antonio.
That's true. UTSA will be tough in San Antonio.
And in fact, UTSA is favored in that game. So.
I could see that because, let's be honest, we figured every week Tulane seemed to scrape it out, and you just got to wonder if they can keep doing that the rest of the year.
And that quarterback, Montana, is still injured from the North Texas game when they separated his shoulder. He's still not right to this point. They don't know who they're going to put in at quarterback. They've started to get a lot of injuries. Their luck is seems to be running out, and I'll be honest, I'm pulling for UTSA. I know some people said, oh, I don't want to have UTSA win this game. I want to earn it. If UTSA can knock Tulane out, guess what? We're in the driver's seat.
Right, and they lost to Florida Atlantic, a very mediocre Florida Atlantic team.
Whose coach got busted for smoking dope.
Wow,
you know?
That's crazy. They rallied.
This season,
munchies.
Compare this Conference USA season so far to like some Sun Belt seasons. It just seems, and maybe winning's a big part of it. I'm sure winning's a big part of it. But doesn't it seem like it's more of an exciting, you know, you're following more of the teams? I can remember in the Sun Belt, I really didn't care about a lot of the Sun Belt games. But in Conference USA, there's like two or three games every week I'm interested in.
Well, we were also not really in contention.
So right.
Maybe that's why
I said winning
so
helps.
It does help. Well, here's the thing. The Tulane UTSA game's at 1 o'clock. So by the time that the North Texas homecoming game starts, which is at 2:30.
We should have an idea.
We should have an idea how this game's going. So we'll have to see how it goes. There's a couple other games in there that could matter for us. But really, that's the one we need to watch this weekend to see how it goes.
Amen.
All right. So homecoming's coming up. Should be a good crowd. Always a great crowd for homecoming. We have to you got to wonder how many extra tickets are sold. I bought some extra tickets. They said they've been on the phones all day. I know you said there was a Living Social had a coupon out.
Yep.
They're selling $10 tickets, probably general admission. So right. that'll be a, that's a good thing to help drive some more. And the weather's going to be absolutely perfect.
Weather's perfect. It's homecoming. We're winning. The students are going to come back.
And there's going to be a new Scrappy.
And a new Scrappy's being announced. I mean, everything points to this being, I'm not going to jinx it, but this could be a really nice number.
It could have a great crowd.
Yeah.
And we're always nervous about big crowd and not capitalizing, but it should be a great crowd. There always is for homecoming.
Absolutely.
So, all right, with that, we're going to take a short break for those of you that are listening live. For those of you listening on iTunes, it will not be a break. We're going to get the athletic director from North Texas on the phone, so give us 1 second. All right, joining us on the phone is the athletic director for the University of North Texas, Rick Villarreal. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Oh, guys, it's always a pleasure, and appreciate you guys giving me a call.
So, Rick, I gotta ask you right off the bat, are you still on a high from that Rice victory? Evan and I were just talking about that had to be one of the most amazing scenes we've ever seen as North Texas fans.
Well, you know, I really have come down. You know, it was a great game, and probably in my 28 years in the business, maybe the greatest, one of the best games I've ever seen, and by far the greatest goal line situation I've ever seen. And, you know, it's something that'll be, people will be talking about 40 years from now. You know, were you there? Did you see the game? You know, do you remember back in 2013 when they had 8 plays inside the 5? It was exciting, but you know, it was a huge step. It was a step we had talked about the whole week in getting ready, but it was just the next step. And you know, now we've got some steps in front of us. We gotta keep moving down the road, and got a lot of work left to do. So, you know, as Dan likes to always say, enjoy this for 24 hours, and then we have to move on. And UTEP's going to come in here, they present a path in the road that we need to take care of.
But, Rick, that's no fun.
No, we had a lot of fun. And I will say, you know, we did take the full 24 hours to enjoy the victory. And, of course, you know, we play, if you would come up to the building, we play those replays of the game every week. And it's amazing the number of people stopped in the lobby and just watched it over and over and over again. And, it was a lot of fun and just really great to see our seniors, you know, to reach 6, a goal they'd set for themselves, but two, to do it in the manner that we did it for all facets of the game, to have a piece of what happened, for a student body that came out and was unbelievable and stayed involved in the game, and as well as the rest of the crowd, the band, and the performance they put on. I mean, it was might sound kind of corny, but it was a magical night. And it was, nobody wanted it to end. Eventually it does, and you move on and get ready.
Rick, yeah, we know that from watching the episodes of the Beyond the Green that the players really do appreciate the turnout, and it really pumps them up. And you know, when they're doing the North Texas chant, you can see the players in some of the videos, you know, really going back and forth. They seem to like that. The students really came out for the last game. How do we have any idea, are we looking at some really good numbers coming for the homecoming weekend?
Oh, it's gonna be in fact, I was in the office this afternoon late helping students are so far ahead of picking up tickets where they were a week ago, that number could get scary. And, we've got, as we're selling tickets today, we've got sections that are filled up. So we don't have any more tickets in sections along the stadium. And so, you know, I don't know what the number is that we have left at this point, but I know it's less than we had when we played Houston. At this time of the week. And I think if people follow the patterns that they have in the past, I think students will pick up tickets again at a higher rate tomorrow and Friday. A lot of them will show up at the game without, you know, having picked up a ticket and come to the gate with their ID. But more than that, you know, we don't have a club level seat left. We have maximized everybody's suite as we could. So there's, you know, all that's full. This afternoon, the bowl seats were going, and there were people buying them, you know, 3, 4, 6 at a time. And so, I'll be anxious to look at the numbers tomorrow afternoon to see where we are. But this if the trend stays the way it is, this could be the biggest crowd we've ever had.
Wow, that is so exciting.
It's very exciting. Rick, any word on like how UTEP, I mean, you know, we always know that UTEP's always traveled pretty well considering where they're at. Are they expected to bring a pretty good crowd?
Well, we thought they would at first. And sorry, guys, excuse me. They thought they would at first, and then they've struggled. And, you know, but now I guess they've made the decision today to change the quarterbacks again. And, of course, it's a young man whose dad coached here for a while. And so there's, you know, we might bring out some additional local fans who might normally be North Texas fans that might move in that UTEP section simply because of, Mac Hayes playing quarterback or slated to start for quarterback for UTEP this week. So, we haven't seen the big numbers, but, you know, in talking with people at SMU, they didn't see big numbers until game day from UTEP folks. And UTEP was playing pretty good at that time. So, you know, I think they'll bring a decent crowd, and that's great, you know, but, we've got to move towards it. I don't want to sound like sour grapes because it's not, but we just got to move to filling out that stadium without anybody showing up, you know, and if somebody shows up, they're just going to have to squeeze in somewhere. They'll have a decent number of people, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be thousands and thousands.
Rick, I got to ask this question because I know, you know, Spencer Leftwich kind of left at a bad time. It was a bad time in the program. You can't blame the guy, you know, for taking another opportunity, but it kind of left us in a bad spot at a bad time, you know, right before the season, if I recall correctly. Any hard feelings towards Spencer on that deal?
No. You know, I mean, in our business, I mean, you know, Spencer went through some tough times with us, I mean, you know, on both occasions. And so, you know, I mean, I think it's just the nature of our business that opportunities present themselves, and you know, you have to do what's best for you, that you feel like is best for your family and you first and foremost. And I would say that was true of any coach. You know, that's what I would encourage every one of my coaches to do. You need to do what's best for your family first, and then what's best for your career. And you know, Spencer did two things. He always left with class. You know, I mean, never failed to come into the office before he left and said, "Coach, you know, this is hard, and you know, you gave me a chance to come back, and now I'm leaving again." And you know, so no way. I mean, that family was always classy, and you know, I really, you know, Mac, you know, used to run, Mac Hayes, his son, who's going to start this weekend, used to run around, you know, the field, and was a great kid, and I hope he's. You know, I hope we're having to give him a lot of condolences after the game. you know, but he was a great kid. And, you know, I know it's got to be exciting for him and his family that he's, you know, coming back in here.
All right, Rick. A couple of questions coming up in the chat room right now. One of them is people seem to really love the logo on the helmet. And I know that there's always – everybody's always looking for something different, but they got to ask – will we ever see more of the logo that we saw this past game against Rice?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know this is a point of contention with some people. I think the more that we play good football and the more that we win games and the more that we don't have to tell folks that we're North Texas, you know, I've always said that we would look at other options. I mean, in fact, you know, it was my decision to put the eagle on the helmet. You know, and we had talked about black uniforms, and so when Mac and I talked about it, myself and a couple other guys, we sat down and designed the uniform, and, you know, I said, hey, if we're going to do this, let's go ahead and take the, you know, let's make it a deal, and, you know, I'm thinking it's, you know, we won't wear it very often, the black uniform, you might see it again this next week, but you know, I think we will be consistent. We're not going to turn into one of those schools that has 27 logos. You know, but I don't think, I mean, I think one of the opportunities that's been presented with what's going on in college football is, you know, we have the ability to put North Texas on the side of the helmet one week and the Eagle on the second, you know, on the other side. And, you know, I think that does several things. Ties them together. People begin to recognize that, you know, Mean Green is that logo. You know, my biggest fear has always been that once you, you know, if you just predominantly put the eagle out there, somebody starts to call you Eagles again, and I don't know how many people read the Dallas Morning News last week, and, you know, inside the front page there's an article, and, you know, it says Eagles, big test for Eagles this week. You know, and that's no offense, because we were Eagles, and I mean, we still are Eagles. But, you know, I want to make sure that, that all the names, North Texas, Mean Green, and Eagles, become synonymous. And I think it's a process. And I think while some people may, might disagree with that, I think it's proven itself out.
You know, the Denton community has always been a challenge, and I think you guys have really worked that really hard to try to build those relationships. Do you, when you win, when you have success as a program like we have experienced this year, do you start to see more of the Denton community wanting to be a part and come on board?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, I mean, the fact that we sold out club-level tickets, you know, and a guy called me and said, I told him we didn't have any left, and he said, well, what happened? I said, well, you know, everybody that was off the bandwagon got back on. And, you know, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that, you know, it's just a it's been a wishy-washy type deal that, you know, when and will come maybe. But I think what's happened now is that it's not just about winning football games. There's I see a big difference now between even going to the four straight bowl games and what's going on this year. Now, we got to still finish this year. We got a lot of work to do. But the talk around town, the national talk, the number of interviews Dan and I and a couple of other people have done on national shows about what's going on at North Texas and, you know, what a great job it is. And, you know, you're ranked inside the top 50. And, you know, it's just all these things together, I think, have started to do the same thing Dan's done with the football team. And that's changed the culture. You know, I had several people calling me today, former players and stuff. Hey, can you get me 6 tickets? Yeah, I called the ticket office, and they're $25 a piece, and you can get 6 tickets. You know, we have to change that culture. And I do see the city doing that. You know, I think people are starting to understand it's a good product. You know, I guess we're 11-4, 12-4 at home now over the last 3 years. And to be honest with you, you know, we're on a roll right now at home. That's pretty good. And I think people are getting excited, and they're getting the people at their place where they work excited. That's the thing we see more than anything, is that it's not just our people talking about how good it was. It's the people that they work with who, you know, especially after the game on Thursday night, that are coming in and going, wow, that was unbelievable. That was fun. I think that the more people see that, being on a national TV, you know, being on national TV in a televised program, the number of people that are our people that watch that, some of them are going to show up this weekend. They maybe haven't showed up in a while because they heard it, they saw it, and they felt it. And they said, wow, something's different.
Rick, and you know this is going to happen every time we get together, but we've got people, about 30 people in the chat room. Baseball, any updates, anything you can share? I know you're just hating me
in the last 3 weeks.
As I said before, it's a growing, but it is actually right now a day-by-day process. You know, I mean, you know, getting a commitment here and a commitment there. And as I've said before, until I feel comfortable. You know, we have 2 facilities right now that we need to get done. One is a golf practice facility, and we've raised about $600,000 on a facility that's going to cost us $1 million. And I'm committed to that, and we've got to finish that. But I'm also committed to baseball. And so, you know, the tough part, the part where it's not moving as fast as it might at some other places, don't get me wrong, is that, you know, the same guys that are trying to raise money for the golf course and the baseball facility are also the same guys trying to sell club-level seats this week and, you know, getting prepared for a possible bowl game and, you know, getting basketball season underway. And so, you know, we're spread kind of thin, but that doesn't stop us from continuing to see people and talk about what's going on. But, my goal, as I've said before, is to play in the fall of 15, spring of 16, and in order to do that, we're going to need to start a baseball stadium, sometime in this next spring, and I think we're on track to do that.
You know, you got to feel good about the Dan McCarney hire, looking at how things have played out, and I understand we still have a ways to go this season, but would it be your goal or your plan if things play out like we hope they do this year, to try to lock Dan into a, you know, a long-term contract, and keep him here, you know, until he decides to retire some at some point. I got to tell you, people are really thrilled with what he's done, you know, with his football program
and how he's done it, and you know, the way it's been built.
Again, I think, as I told Dale Hansen the other night, you know, and I didn't mean I hope nobody takes offense to what I'm going to say, but for a long time here, we hired the people we could afford, you know, and maybe that's a way to do it. But you know, when we retired Dan McCarney, and this is kind of repetitive, but we told the board we can't go out and hire the same kind of coaches. You know, we need to hire somebody who is going to build a foundation, who's going to continue to build up on top of that foundation and build a program, not a winning season, not a couple of bowl games. You know, somebody that's going to build a base and foundation that can be successful for a while. Does that mean we're not, you know, we're going to have a bunch of 10 and 11 win seasons? No, that means we're going to always be competitive. We're going to get into bowl games, and we're going to have special years. But you're not going to be looking around at the 1 and 11 years. That's, you know, or 2 and 10s. And yeah, I do feel good about the hire. You know, I mean, I think, you know, the first year everybody got a little kind of buzz going, but then, you know, we went 4 games second year, and you know, we go back to, oh well, you know, he's not that good. He's not this. It's not, you know, as an athletic director, you have to sit back and watch the whole thing. You know, you have to know what's going on in your program, and you know, right now, it doesn't matter what happens in the next 3 games. I mean, to say that I don't want to go win these next 3 games and that, you know, that's exactly what I want to do. But I'm not waiting until that point to talk about. And you know, I've already had conversations with Dr. Rollins about, you know, extending Dan's contract. And I mean, you build success through continuity if you have the right people in place. That's a reality. You know, some people can, they're going to complain about everything that happens, but if you look around the program today and you look at the places where we've had continuity, where we've had to maybe at first sustain some of the growing pains, but once we got past that, you know, whether it was tennis or golf or volleyball or whatever, you know, any of those sports, cross country, I mean, there's a rhyme and a reason how you get where you are. Football and basketball are the most visible, and so, you know, we've got to see those things happen too. But across the board, that's what you have to do, is have continuity. And yeah, you're dang right that, you know, I was working on it today, and it's my goal to, you know, I talked to Dan about this a year ago, and it just wasn't, how do I say this the best way? All the people that would have needed to been on board with doing this weren't on board with trying to extend Dan's contract a year ago. You know, but I believed, watching the academic side, watching how much bigger our kids were getting, watching how much faster we were getting, looking at the progress we were making, that, you know, this program is on the right track, and had an opportunity to, you know, I wanted an opportunity to try to move it forward, but we're, you know, we're at that point. And yes, I would love for Dan to be here, you know, until he retires, and if I'm blessed and lucky enough till I retire, and you know, because I think he'll do some special things here.
Okay, we had a question in the chat room regarding organized chants. You know, that North Texas chant is really getting a lot of play, and it's really, you know, starting, and you've got the cheerleaders starting to get involved and drive that thing. Is there any other discussions around that chant or other chants that would be organized? Because I'm telling you, man, that Apogee can get really loud. And,
it's a powerful thing. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Oh, no, it is. It's, you know, I got a couple of phone calls from friends this week around the country who watched the game, and a couple of them couldn't watch it, and they actually listened to it on the internet. And you know, the guy said, Rick, I swear it sounded like it was an SEC game. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've tried, you know, I give a lot of credit to my staff in that, you know, we've tried to get the band to play certain pieces of music when certain things happen. And a lot of times our fans don't realize that. You know, if we stop on a third down, we play a particular piece of music, you know, and that's done to excite people, you know, to the point, hey, we just had a third down stop, You know, even if you were in the under the concourse and you heard the music, you'd know. And so, yeah, there is a lot of organized deal. There's a little thing going on around right now that some kind of little song that a group kind of started that's kind of spreading its way around, and I think they're going to start handing out word sheets. But it's something every time that we score, after we score, that they have this little chant about I don't even remember what it is, but it's a little 4 or 5 line chant, and they sing it and they get jacked about it. So yeah, I mean, you know, we want to do that. I mean, that, you know, anybody that's ever been to LSU seen it. You know, we want to have an organized situation where we can be as loud as we can be, but we also want to retain that that freedom just to be crazy, you know, to have fun. I mean, to watch those kids across the way the other night, they were having fun. You know, whether they knew it or not, they were having a tremendous amount of fun, and we were having fun watching them.
So Ernie Keeney gets the Fred McCain Award. It was announced, I think, today. You want to say a couple words about him? I mean, he's sort of come on the scene lately and really been a mover and shaker in terms of supporting this athletic program.
Well, you know, a year ago, you know, as you build a program and you start to have to raise dollars to build facilities, you know, you realize that there are people who do things that maybe don't get the recognition or never will get the recognition of a Hall of Famer, because that's reserved for a certain group of people. But there are people who will make contributions to your program that will change the programs forever. And, you know, last year I walked into the Hall of Fame and you know, said, we need to start recognizing these people. And at that point in time, I recommended Dan Smith, who, in fact, they decided to bring on. But I thought it was important that we make some kind of, you know, notation that this was an award that was part of our Hall of Fame ceremony, but it was not necessarily because somebody went in as an athlete or an administrator, that this was somebody who had done something to the program or committed to the program or made contributions to the program that changed how the program operated, you know, that changed how things were done. It's not an award that has to be awarded every year, but can be. And, you know, in naming the award, you know, Fred McCain was a guy that a lot of people liked and a lot of people didn't like. But, you know, that's kind of like being an athletic director. That's the reality. You know, you understand there's going to be people who do like your decisions and some that don't. But Fred gave them, you know, over 40 years of his life to this institution, whether it was a student athlete or as a coach, running the Coliseum, coming back as the athletic director, having to make some difficult decisions in cutting some sports because, you know, we might not have been financially solvent to even carry on. He was a guy that helped break integration here. And he touched so many areas and gave so many years of his life to this program. I just thought, you know, we thought that it was the perfect person's name to put on there because his contributions to the program over those 40 years helped sustain it. And the people that will receive this award now and in the future are people who will not only help sustain it but take it forward. In leaps and bounds, and you know, we've done a poor job, Harry. You know, we have, but the university as a whole, over a long period of time, has done a very poor job of recognizing people. You know, and you go to other places, and that happens. And so, you know, I thought this was an important step a year ago. You couldn't ask for a better guy than Dan Smith, who, you know, who as a vice chairman of the board, as a major donor. As an influencer, helped us get so many projects done that nobody knows about. And then Ernie came on the scene pretty quick, and you know, right away when he got on the, you know, when he showed up my office and we had a talk with four other people sitting in the room, and he began to tear up and actually just, you know, you could, it was almost to the point of breaking down. It was obvious how much this university meant to him and that he had wanted. You know, he wanted to give money. In fact, he tried to give $1 million twice before, and I don't know. I know the details of one. I won't get into it. But twice they just messed up a deal, you know, to get a $1 million check.
Yikes!
And when I saw the passion that the guy had, you know, I said, hey, not only can you help us, we can help you, because you want to see this thing be successful, and he does. And you know, so he stepped up the day. he came back the next day and he said, "What? How do I get started?" I said, "Well, you need to write me a check for $100,000. I need $100,000 today, and I need to get some things done." And he wrote a check for $100,000, committed $1 million. A year later, we asked him to chair the basketball practice facility committee. He goes out and helps us raise over $3 million in 30 days, and so you know, the facility's already paid off. The scoreboard and sound system would paid off over the next 3 years with the funding from the money that was raised. And you know, those two things and the floor, and those two things alone will change recruiting. It will change our ability to practice and compete right away, and it'll change it immensely. And I mean, I think you can already see it. And you know, we can't talk about commitments, but if you read stuff about commitments and kids who are committing to this program right now, I think it's already having a tremendous effect.
Well, Rick, these are definitely exciting times. There's a lot of stuff going on. Our hats off to you for the promotions and stuff for the game against Rice. That kind of crowd was spectacular. I know we're going to have a good crowd for homecoming. You know, this we're kind of wondering if you told back to basically, you know, take it easy net last year so we could have one heck of a 100th year. So if you were taking part of that, we really appreciate it, because this has been a great ride this year. Harry and I have been doing 124 of these podcasts and started in 2006, and this is by far the most exciting year, and it's been a long time coming, but we're just excited to be here, and we appreciate you coming on with us.
Well, I'm glad to come on, and I think it's just important to note, and I know some people it's not important, but you know, I think it's important to note that this entire program is in a unique position in doing things at the highest level. You know, I mean, cross country finishes second, third. Soccer just made it to the semifinals in the conference tournament tonight. Volleyball has assured themselves a spot in the tournament and just beat Tulane, who was 22-2. Things are being done here at a high level athletically and academically. Our kids are at the highest level they've ever been and among the best in the conference and above the average in the country. And, so we ought to take great pride. It is a great time to be Mean Green and not to be patronizing, but I will tell you that I think for some of the things that we want, we have to be patient. You know, I mean, when Johnny got here, it took 5 years before we began to realize the fruits of his labor. When Sujay Lama got here, it took 3.5 years before we started to see wins, and now more wins than we've ever seen in history. So we got to, you know, while all these good things are going on, there's still going to be challenges. And the one thing that I hope is that through this process, I'll throw this out there. So people have asked, you know, what bowl would you want to go to? You know, and I said, well, I don't want to talk about bowls right now because we still got to win games. But, you know, I'd like to go to a bowl because of the emotion, because of the energy, because of what's going on in the program right now and the feelings around it. I want to go to a place where we can take 20, 25,000. You know, I want to go
to Dallas.
Place where we can gather as a group and reconnect and say, okay, you know what, guys, here's 25,000 of us here, 30,000, whatever it is. Let's commit to getting this same 25 or 30,000 to every home game next year. You know, let's turn this into a deal where this is a regular occasion, and it happens 6 weeks out of the year at Apogee Stadium. And, oh, by the way, if we get to go to a bowl game, then it's 7. But I think it's a great opportunity. The energy's great. It's as good a situation as I've been around as far as here at the University of North Texas. And you can feel the energy. You can feel the commitment. You can feel the passion. It's from players to coaches to administrators to students, alumnus. It's a special time.
We're right there with you on that. It's as exciting a time as we can ever remember, and we just hope it continues the rest of the season. Thank you so much, Rick. We appreciate having you on.
Well, we appreciate it. We hope we'll see everybody out there on the board on Saturday. It'll be a tough game. I know people think it won't be, but, you know, I think North Texas is you know, we got a couple teams coming in here that have struggled, we always looked, when I was had some teams that were like that, we always looked at it as our bowl game. If we knew we weren't going bowling, then guess what? Let's take care of the guy who is. And so, you know, I think UTEP will come in here ready to play, and so we'll need every Mean Green fan out there, Harry, with those chants and new chants and making a lot of noise and supporting Mean Green. So we hope to see everybody out on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, appreciate guys. We appreciate you.
Okay.
So much.
Take care.
Bye. All right. So that was the athletic director from North Texas.
It's always good to have Rick on.
It is. And, you know, that's where we're lucky, you know. And there's one thing that you could definitely say about RB. He is passionate for the job he does. He's not one of the guys that kind of sits back and just kind of relaxes and just has lunch with all the big wigs. He'll get down in there, and you'll see him everywhere, and it's good to see him on a Wednesday night at 9:30 talking to us.
Well, he cares about the program, and he wants to see it succeed, and he's got to be feeling good. I know he gives us, you know, that whole, you know, conservative, UTEP's going to be tough. I mean, and I understand why they have to do that. But
yeah, of course.
You know, deep in his heart of hearts, he's tickled to death the way things have played out this season.
Immensely. You know it. I mean, he's got to. He's thinking about bowl games, and there's a lot of good stuff here. This is a great time to be green. It's a great time for this university.
Absolutely.
And we have got perfect weather for a home game this weekend and a perfect opponent lined up for it. So for once, you know, we've got a team coming to play our homecoming that we want to be seen.
Instead of the other way around.
Yeah, usually we're all playing the homecoming.
Exactly.
So, all right, with that, Harry, it is it's time to say goodbye, and we will see everybody next week or see you at the tailgate. Find us.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.